Chapter 13, A Spirit of Error, Part 1, Gnosticism. Have you ever seen a road with young trees which have just been planted? How small are those trees, and how tender and thin is the trunk? How different are they from old trees which have shot their roots deep into the ground, with their stout, strong trunks and their proud tops? Those young trees do not as yet have such strong roots, no strong trunks, and no thick branches. Oh, oh, what will become of that? When the sun shines and the weather is nice, yes, then it is fine. But when howling storm winds roar over the plains, when the hail pelts down, then they swish their thin trunks hither and thither as if they would break. And yet, of course, an odd one may blow over, but the majority will raise themselves up again. The next day, when the storm has spent itself, those tender trees stand there stronger than ever, because just through that storm, the roots bore themselves deeper into the ground, and thereby the sturdiness is increased. That is only a symbol, but I wrote this purposely. Christianity was also such a young tree. It began so small, so insignificant. What must become of it? Terrible storms roared over the Church of God. Fearful persecutions caused Christianity to bend with crackling sound. Yea, at times it seemed as if Christianity would be destroyed. The blood of thousands of martyrs soaked the earth. And yet, Christianity was not destroyed. On the contrary, in spite of the storms of persecution, it extended itself more and more. But Christianity was not only threatened by horrible persecutions, but other storms endeavored to pull out that young plant. Oh, Satan made every attempt to sweep Christianity from the earth. With those other storms, I mean various errors which sneaked in from the outside into the church. In this chapter, I will tell you something about one of those errors. I want to tell you something about Gnosticism. Gnosticism? What a strange word. Never heard of it. What does that really mean? Perhaps many shrug their shoulders. Just listen. Then I will try to make it clear. I will not tell you everything about it, but I will mention certain things, because we must know something about it, since at that time the whole Church of God was disturbed by it. Very soon, after most of the apostles had died the martyr's death, people came that taught strange things. We read in the Bible that God created heaven and earth in 6 days. We all know that, isn't that so? And we believe that too, of course, because God's word tells us that. But at that time, people came who said, "Oh no, we don't believe that. God could not have created this evil world. This corrupted world has been created by other gods, inferior gods, and those inferior gods have also created the bodies of men." How foolish, right? From where did those people get that nonsense? Because we don't read that in the Bible. But those unbelieving people told still more. They said, "Therefore, that high God who dwells in heaven has not created the bodies of the people, but he did create the soul of man. That soul is good. Now that good soul is held captive by that evil body. You know better, do you not? No inferior gods exist. There is but one God. That God has created soul and body. Both soul and body were good. But through sin, both soul and body have become evil and depraved. That is how it reads in the Bible. And thus it is, too. But those Gnostics did not believe that. They said, "Oh no, the soul is good and the body is evil. That good soul is being held fast by the evil body. But now that high God who dwells in heaven has sent Christ to deliver that good soul from that evil body. Christ shall bring the good soul back into heaven." Neither is that true. Certainly the Lord Jesus has come down to this sin-cursed earth. But he did not come to loosen the good soul out of an evil body. But he has come to suffer and to die for his people. He came to die the death on the cross, which had been cursed by God. He came to deliver his people from the guilt and stain of sin. He was punished, so that God's people would live forever with body and soul. That is how it is recorded in the Bible, and thus it is, too. Those wicked Gnostics said, "No, no, by and by the evil bodies shall die, and they shall remain dead, too. The depraved bodies are not raised again, but they shall remain forever in the grave. But the good souls go to the high heaven, and there those good souls shall marry with the angels, and in that way those souls shall finally be happy there." Now say, is that true? Why, no. This is also a lie and deceitful. The bodies of God's people shall indeed rise on the day of judgment. That people shall one day glorify God with body and soul. The body of Enoch, who was taken up, and the body of Elijah, who ascended to heaven in a fiery chariot, are on high too, are they not? Neither shall the children of God marry with the angels. That is nonsense. There shall be no more marriages in heaven. But not only God's people, but also the unconverted people shall one day rise with body and soul. Wretchedness shall be their eternal destination. Did not Korah, Dathan, and Abiram descend into hell alive? That is how the Bible tells it, and thus it is, too. Don't you see that the Gnostics were altogether wrong and brought the strangest errors into the church? But surely, no one believed that, did they? Oh, yes, alas, they did. Thousands and thousands of people did believe that. Thousands of Christians thought that the Gnostics brought the full truth. They supposed that this was the true religion. And according to many, that faith was the true faith. Oh, how did this happen? Ah, the heathens also believed in many gods. They also believed in good and evil gods. Or, let me say it differently, the heathens believed in good and evil spirits. Many heathens had become Christians. But when Gnosticism came, which taught that there was a highest God and lower gods, yes, then they believed that because formerly they had always heard of those spirits. That new doctrine agreed with their former religion. Gnosticism, that devilish error, was real paganism. But they Christianized that pagan doctrine a little. And for that reason, many named Christians believed those wrong, unbiblical things. Yea, the Gnostics began to publish books. And then they said that Mark or Paul or Peter had written those books. And in that way, they obtained the so-called Gospels and Apostle Romances and Acts of the Apostles, etc. Many false writings came into existence, which were supposed to be true. In that way, the Gnostics wanted to falsify the Bible, the true Word of God. Wrong Bible books must be brought in. That was very dangerous, for if that had happened, then the devil would have triumphed. Then the entire doctrine of salvation would have been falsified. That was a devilish attack upon God's word. But that did not happen. That attack failed. The Lord took care of that. God watched over his church. God watched over his word, the Bible, because God's people did not believe that false doctrine of the Gnostics. There appeared godly preachers and bishops who seriously warned the people against the doctrine of the Gnostics. If such a counterfeit, such a false Bible came into their hands, those God-fearing bishops said, "No, this so-called book of Peter is not written by Peter. The Gnostics have written this book themselves. Away with it. That book does not belong in the Bible." And if a book came into their hands upon which was written Acts of Paul, then they said, "This book was not written by Paul. This book has been written by the Gnostics themselves. Away with it. That book does not belong in the Bible." Just during that dangerous period, the Lord decreed it in such a way that learned men appeared, God-fearing men, who made a separation between the true Bible books and the false Bible books. It was just during that period that the Bible, as we have it at home, was compiled and established. You have probably heard of the canonical books. Well then, with a scholarly word, they say, at that time the canon was established. The new doctrine of the Gnostics has been rejected, and the pure truth was established. The attempt of the devil to destroy God's church failed. Gnosticism was so dangerous because that new doctrine was half paganism and half Christian. But Christianity has not been destroyed by that new doctrine. The conflict has been severe, but the truth has overcome. The storm of that error did not cast down Christianity, but just through that struggle, Christianity has obtained deeper roots. And that means that just through that struggle, Christianity has learned to understand the true doctrine better. And as the Bible has been established at that time, so the Bible has remained even to this present day. I hope that this difficult chapter is understood.